Yes, indeed, I can confirm that the parties reached a settlement, and the proceedings in the Majors Court were withdrawn as a result of this an out of court settlement. My client received what she wanted.
And what was that?
Quite substantial, but I can't disclose the figure.
She was asking for $500,000. And we had heard that Prime Minister Tsvangirai had said that he could only pay $200,000. So at least can you tell us, is it between $200,000 and
$500,000? I'm not telling you figure, but the client is very happy.
Yes, I'm not asking for a figure, but I was just saying, can you confirm that at least it's $200,000?
I'm not going to help the listeners to what the figure we received. All I can say to the listeners is that my client and myself are very happy, especially me. I am very, very happy with what I have achieved for my client.
Would she have accepted anything below $200,000?
Sorry, no, I'm not saying anything, but I can tell you that she's very, very happy. Mm-hmm. That's why we don't want to say anything. We are very happy. We are very, very happy.
So what finally changed, because the two have been, you know, fighting about this very issue for some time now. So what led to the Prime Minister finally agreeing to settle?
Because both him and his lawyers realized that they were not winning the case. Remember when the case was postponed, their request, after they had made the application for an exception which was dismissed, the major thing was that the next hearing will be an inquiry, which means to determine how much Vukadia must receive in terms of maintenance. Right, and the Prime Minister then came up with the offer that he wants to make a one-off payment, and then obviously that is went into negotiations. But obviously the Prime Minister was negotiating from a position of disadvantage, in the sense that the court had already indicated that the next meeting would be simply purely for purposes of determining how much he should pay. So as not to whether he should pay or not, that issue had already been dealt with. The court held that he must pay maintenance, but what was left was how much he must pay. And that's when he then said, well, he threw in the towel and said, look, in light of that, let's talk about how much I can pay. And he wanted to make a one-off payment, which we accepted.
So what does this mean, this one-off payment? Does it mean that he's going to pay the full amount straight away?
Yes, or already paid. Yes, no, yes, already paid.
Oh, he's already paid.
We have got the money. Yeah, we have got the money. He has even paid my fees.
And how much were your fees?
Quite substantial too.
And what does that mean?
No, they charge 1,000 per hour. How can I be? How many hours a week? This case has been going on for how many months now? So it is quite substantial. And I'm also very happy.
Do you really think, though, that your client's case was about her being wronged or her trying to embarrass the Prime Minister? Because some people were saying this case went too far, and that for her own dignity, she should have just said, I'm walking away, because of the way she had been treated.
No, definitely not. Well, a person who has been injured must fight for his rights. That is what I understand. I think she fought for all women. Do you know how many women are now coming to me, wanting also to make sure that they get what is due to them? Do you know how many?
How many?
I've been quite a number of people. Women are now coming. Literally, some hundreds who are now coming. Some phoning to say, look, Miss Sam, can you do this for me? Can you do that for me? That's two. I have been not very popular with men, because they say I'm making women much wiser. They are seeing things that they did not see in the past. It's my fault.
So
I don't care. I think I have, in this regard, been a champion of women's cause.
So she was not doing it for money?
No. Money was the last thing. Remember, she's asking for maintenance. She wasn't. If she was asking for money, she would have sued for damages. She didn't sue for damages. She was suing for maintenance. Maintenance establishing her right as a wife to be supported by her husband. And the Prime Minister could have simply said, okay, I'll pay you $1,000. Or the court could have said, look, you get $500. So we're not talking about money. The reason, the fact that the Prime Minister chose to say, look, I'll give you one-off payment for the rest of your life. You can't blame it on her. It was the Prime Minister who came and says, I'll give you this much. And then we went into discussion.
Does it mean that the two are now divorced?
No. This is a maintenance settlement. It is nothing to do with the divorce.
So what's happening with that issue, though? Because the Prime Minister has been wanting to
the boy's in the Prime Minister's court. He has got a wife, and he's taking care of his wife. Why should she then worry?
So they're still married?
Of course they are married. They are not divorced. He has not paid the kupro. They are not divorced. She loves him. She still wants him as a husband. But of course, if Tsvangirai says, look, I don't want you, and call for a divorce, she can refuse to be divorced.
Apparently, she was not making herself available so that they could...
No. That is not... Yes, but listen, the first thing that should happen, Prime Minister Tsvangirai and Lokadia are two people who proposed each other. And as a result of this proposal, she accepted it. They got they then started the courtship. Then they ended up in the marriage, right? And before the Tsvangirai's family went to Lokadia's family to pay the robora and to request for a wedding, the two of them had already discussed this matter and had agreed that yes, they will proceed to marriage. They will then proceed to have a white wedding, right? Having done that, the correct thing is for the Prime Minister to speak to Lokadia, and then if they agree that, look, the relationship is easy to break down, then the next thing is the family can then make arrangements. In fact, she can actually make the arrangement for the family to meet the other family and formalize the ending of the relationship. That's what I think needs to be done. And once that has been done, this we are talking about will be history.
How do you respond to people who say this is a ZANU-PF for a plot to discredit the Prime Minister?
The media is being mischievous because if you look at the relationship of Lokadia with the ZANU-PF and the relationship Elizabeth with ZANU-PF, who is closer to ZANU-PF, Elizabeth or Lokadia? Isn't that she's Elizabeth Macheka? Who is Mr. Macheka?
Someone can also say Lokadia's sister is a member of parliament for ZANU-PF. So
no, man, but if yes, he's a member of parliament for ZANU-PF, but by Piata Nyampinga, what position does she hold in the party? Right, then you go and see what position Macheka holds in the party and see who is closer there. Biyam Nyampinga is only the MP. She's not a member of Central Committee. She's not a member of Politburo. Now, where about Macheka? Where is he? You see? Honestly, those people who make those allegations are stupid. Because you can't say the Prime Minister is better off with Elizabeth in terms of ZANU-PF. To me, it is stupid. Because Macheka is very close to ZANU-PF as a party. She sits on the high table when Biya Nyampinga or Lokadia sit in the benches in the crowd. How can you then say the person who is sitting in the crowd is more closer to ZANU-PF than the person who is sitting on the table?